morning. Greetings in Christ's name. Blessing to be together again in the house of the Lord. I've appreciated the thoughts that have been given, that we've talked about this morning. Thank you, Dad, for sharing those thoughts. This morning I called him and asked him if he'd be willing to close the service. Here at the end of the message, and he said, well, yeah, he'd be willing to do that, but he has some things on his heart that he's thought about that he would have to share as well. So I said, well, very good. And so thank you for that. This morning, I'd like to continue where we left off. I believe it was 2 weeks ago, sharing on the Christian home, and particularly thinking of, well, we spoke on Christian courtship. The first part was being prepared, and maybe I'll just briefly go over some of the points that we covered that time in that message, and then we'll continue on and maybe, yeah, looking more at the courtship itself. So we began with looking at what Christian courtship is. Christian courtship is a sanctified friendship exercised in godly fear for the purpose of discerning God's will for their lives. It far transcends the haphazard lottery of random dating. It is sacredly serious, not merely social. That is kind of the That is what Christian courtship is. For courtship to be Christian, both participants must be fully committed to Christ, must be fully committed Christians. Priority number one is what? Can someone tell me? What was priority number one? Any of you young people? Well, maybe it's good we're continuing on with this. Anyone remember? What is priority number one? Either sides of the house. Thank you. Total commitment to Christ. Very true. True Christian courtship is a sacred interest between two God-fearing and God-loving Christians earnestly and sincerely seeking to know, to follow, and to follow God's plans, God's plan for their life. And being, first of all, totally committed to Christ. In order for it to prosper, in order for it to move forward, that is where the individuals must find themselves. In order to be able to seek the Lord's will. The purpose of keeping each other's company is not entertainment, but observation. It is a means of obtaining a thorough understanding of each other's character. And we're going to look at some ways to do that today, of how that is done. It's a testing of the feasibility of blending two separate personalities into a blessed, harmonious union. And again, we'll look at some of that, what some of those tests might be. God, the author of marriage, has created us as social beings who need each other. We recognize that. We need each other. That's how God made us. Some things we talked about was being prepared for Christian courtship, making sure you're ready for marriage and its responsibilities before you contemplate courtship. There is a definite purpose and goal in courtship. It is to be purposeful in seeking a life's companion. That is what it's all about. The first step is not in trying to find the right person for a marriage companion, but rather being the right person yourself. That's what I mean by being ready. Who will you serve? Whose authority are you under? Who are you going to? Who is your life dedicated to? That needs to be settled first. The most important preparation for courtship and marriage is to be a Christian, a child of God. Courtship is a serious step, and we need God's help. We need His direction. We talked a bit about discerning God's will in courtship. And I think it's safe to say, I really believe this, is that you simply cannot properly discern God's will on your own. I think that's a safe statement to make. God speaks to us. God speaks to you through the counsel of your parents and through other godly Christians. That is how God speaks to us in discerning His will for our lives. The child of God also has the Holy Spirit. This morning we talked about, or in Sunday school, we talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit today. The child of God has the Holy Spirit to guide him, and that's a help that we cannot do without. That's probably the most important thing to have, is the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives. We talked about the importance of prayer. We looked at 8 important points that need considered before courting. And I'd like to have you name some of those as well. We mentioned 8 points that need to be considered before courting. Can anyone name some? Okay, the first one was love the church. What was the next one? I'll just read them. Love the church and develop personal convictions. Cultivate a pure heart. Appreciate your parents' authority and counsel. Value the contribution of others. Learn how to evaluate character. Maintain sobriety and dignity. And the young man should initiate courtship. Some important points that we need to think about. Well, moving on then from that, this morning I would like to focus more on how to conduct a Christian courtship. As I pondered that and looked through Scripture, you know, the Bible does not prescribe a practice in this matter. It doesn't real clearly describe a practice. However, it does prescribe principles. It very clearly does that, prescribes principles for us. I will also say that if we follow those biblical principles in the matter of defining our courtship practices, or in the matter of defining our courtship, I believe that our dating practices will differ markedly from the accepted dating practices of our culture today. There will be a difference, because man has deviated, society has deviated so far from godly principles in this matter. I'd like to begin with looking at a couple of familiar scriptures to lay a bit of groundwork for our thoughts. You can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I have 2 verses here that I want us to consider, and then turn to 1 Corinthians 10 as well. And then there are 3 points that I want for us to think about as we go through this message. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All right, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 31 has these words. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so 3 very important things I want us to keep in mind as we go through this message. First of all, lean not unto thine own understanding. Secondly, acknowledge Christ and he will direct you. And third, do all to the glory of God. Let's keep those three things in mind. Courtship is meant to be a time of creating pleasant memories, growing spiritually, and building a lifelong friendship. Now, there was once a minister who was teaching on this subject of dating, and he began with raising the question to the group. He said, "Is dating a good way to get a life's companion?" After a few moments of studied silence, a well-respected elderly member who had been married twice said quietly, but with a twinkle in his eyes, "Well, it certainly has been enjoyable." Yes, it's pleasant. And I believe God means for it to be that way. It's meant for creating pleasant memories. But I want to hasten on to say, let's not get so enamored with the pleasantness of it that we get away from the seriousness of it, that we forget the seriousness of it. It is a time for discovering God's will. And that's what makes it so serious. Sad to say, for many, courtship becomes a time of headache. For many, it is being used as a time of sowing seeds that will yield lifelong regrets. And for many people, that is what is taking place. It has ruined and is continuing to ruin entire lives. This morning we want to talk about Christian courtship. In a society that has largely rejected godly principles, Christian courtship stands out radically different. A Christian's goals and ideals are pursued after God and holiness. Therefore, Christian courtship practices reflect these characteristics. The outcome, then, is therefore different from the godless dating game in our society, what society has made it. I believe this morning that for a courtship to serve its intended purpose, you will need some objectives to guide you. Make sure you use every moment of your time together in a God-honoring way. All your activities, your conversations together, I believe should contribute to spiritual growth. And if it doesn't do that, I think we need to consider why it's not doing that. It should contribute to spiritual growth and to a stable, harmonious relationship. That's what it's all about. Courtship is about getting to know each other in preparation for marriage. And it should only be undertaken by those who are mature enough for that step. It's a time of observation and consideration. I've already said that. For two people to evaluate whether they are compatible for marriage, well, they first need to learn to know each other. Getting acquainted means talking. It means listening. It means planning and doing things together. It means observing each other and evaluating each other in these situations, in varying situations. Today, it seems like the world is offering so many more ways of communication than what we used to have. And really, it has really gone fast, this thing of ways of communicating. I don't feel like I've been married that terribly long. And the ways of communicating from the time that I was dating till now is vastly different. It's very, very different. I believe we need to be extremely careful with these things. The thing of social networking sites and texting, and a lot could be said. I'm not going to spend really time on that. But I think we need to be careful. I think we need to Yeah, be very careful with those things. And ask ourselves, is this what is building how we are handling this? Is it building, is it a means of building a solid, lasting relationship? Is this a means of accomplishing what we are trying to do, of getting to know each other in courtship? Moving on, a few things for you to consider. Young man, it is your responsibility to lead out in courtship. You should be an example of godliness and faithfulness rather than to succumb to peer pressure. That is so real today, the thing of peer pressure. You are the one who should lead out in discussing particular ideas or ideals, I should say, ideals and making plans. It is your responsibility to lead out in that. You're responsible to lead out in Bible reading and prayer and spiritual discussions. It's your job to make sure that you maintain a timely schedule. Well, it certainly is your job, and don't forget that the young lady is observing those things. She is looking for someone that is willing to lead out and take the lead. If she is what she should be, she will be looking for that in you. It is your job to make sure that you maintain a timely schedule. When and where should you date? Or when and where should you, court? These two things, I believe, have a huge bearing on the kind of courtship you will have. As I thought about that, it seems to me like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me like we're getting away from the practice of courting on Sunday afternoon. I don't know what you think about that. I'm not saying that is all bad, but I guess I wonder about that change. I've noticed that often the change in time brings about another change, and that is a change of location. You think about that. In my studying for this, I found that the historical practice among many of the plain people have been for the young man to visit in the home of his young lady friend's parents. That historically has been the practice. Are we losing something when a couple goes to a restaurant for their first visit together? I will say that is what I did. I did that, and I'm certainly not saying that is wrong, but I guess I just wonder. I wonder sometimes if we aren't being influenced by the society around us, and we don't really realize it. We have this thing is creeping upon us, and we don't realize the effects that it's having upon us. Something to think about. I guess I would just say this, that location can make a big difference in whether your visit tends to be more casual, lighthearted, or serious. It has a direct impact on that. Another very important thing to consider, and I mentioned a little bit already, about the importance of communication. Communication is basic to wholesome courtship. I think we would recognize that. I don't think we can overemphasize that. It is very basic to that. To make leisure and recreation the focus of courtship, I believe it can create emotional attachments that leave couples largely ignorant of one another rather than to develop a true acquaintance. Talk about spiritual things. Talk about spiritual things in a God-honoring way. Of course other things will enter in. We know that. Of course it will. But what do you find it easiest to talk about? Individuals generally talk about things they love the most. I believe the highest priority should be discussing and discerning spiritual compatibility. Do we have similar convictions? Do we have similar goals and values? Those things must be talked about. They must be. attend church services together as you have opportunities. You know, that's not a place where you're interacting with each other, you know, during the service particularly. But the inspiration you receive, I believe, can provide, does provide, a very good starting point for spiritual conversations later on. It's an excellent thing. Let's just talk a bit here about some activities that I believe are good activities to be involved in. You mentioned, you know, a couple of things to do together here, but some practical things. I believe it's good for couples to do things together that give each other the opportunity to observe the other's way of dealing with or relating to various situations. And the things I have here are common. They're quite common things, but I believe, again, that they give opportunity to show some very important aspects in an individual. You may think of some of these things, you may think that some of these things, well, you know, they really don't matter that much. But I believe that if more attention were placed on these things, on these specific things that I'm about to mention, it would avoid some difficulties later on. I already mentioned one: attend a church service. Again, this is an excellent opportunity to observe the spiritual level in your special friend. Very important. Very important. Does he or she participate in the singing? I think it's important for you to notice that, for you to think about that in your special friend. Does he or she participate in the singing? Is he or she attentive to the word as it's shared? Does he or she participate in Sunday school? That's a good thing to think about. What about after church? What about the topic of discussion that people are talking about? Is it about spiritual things? Or does the discussion immediately go to the material things in life? And, you know, some of that is possibly normal, but what is taking place? Where does it immediately go? Where is the focus? Another opportunity for observing: does he or she enjoy telling others about the Lord? An activity that I believe is good is to participate together in a church activity such as tract distribution or street meetings. I believe that's an excellent place to tell. Does he or she enjoy telling others about the Lord, as I already mentioned? Does he or she know why they believe what they do? Those are excellent opportunities to determine that. Another activity: visit someone who would really appreciate a visit, a shut-in, an elderly couple. What does this do? It gives an excellent opportunity to observe the respect for elderly. How important. That is very important. Many young people today don't want to take the time to spend with older people, and that is revealing. Another activity: plan a picnic or some outing with your special friend's family. What can I tell here? What can I see here? How does your friend relate to his or her family? How does he relate, he or she relate to a brother or a sister? How does he treat his father and his mother? These things tell a lot about your special friend, and they are things that you need to know. You must know. Another activity: share in prayer and Bible reading. The young man should take the lead, and I already said this, the young man should take the lead in planning and directing studying the Bible. Is he comfortable in doing that? Is he okay with doing that? Is there depth to it, or is it just kind of shallow on the surface, quickly read scripture, get on to more interesting things? That is revealing. That is a part of that person. By their fruits you shall know them. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of other activities that we could talk about. It would be impossible to make a comprehensive list of all the wholesome activities that a courting couple could engage in. But any activity can be evaluated by asking, will it please the Lord? Will it help me discern His will in finding a companion for life? Again, a working relationship between youth and parents is so vital. It is so important. Parents should communicate clearly their expectations regarding the frequency and length of dates and what activities are acceptable or unacceptable. I believe it is important for young people to follow the directives of their parents and to keep them up to date where they are going, what they are doing, how their courtship is progressing. You need your parents' advice in this. More could be said about those things, but I'd like to move on to another point. And that is, I'd like to talk about courtship standards. And my basis for these thoughts is I want to read two short verses in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And I just wanted the last part of this verse, the last three words actually, where it says, keep thyself pure. All right, keep that in mind when we think of when we're talking about courtship standards. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and again, I believe it is verse 22. Yes. It says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. This morning, it is extremely important to establish courtship standards. A budding friendship between a Christian young man and woman is a beautiful thing because God designed the attraction between man and woman. It is holy and good as long as it is controlled by the Spirit. But you know, the devil also seeks to control it. The devil seeks to control it to accomplish his purposes. He wants courtship to be dominated by the desires of the flesh rather than led and controlled by the Spirit. But a Spirit-led courtship will focus on character and spiritual qualities. A fleshly-oriented courtship centers its attention on physical attractions and physical expressions of affection. To have a courtship that is an example of the believers, we need to find from God's Word what that is. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3 tells us that the last days will be characterized by scoffers walking after their own lusts. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 to 5, it lists a number of things that men will do or be. 2 Timothy 3. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, incontinent, I believe, which means powerless in a moral sense, unrestrained, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, there is little we can do to change the overall condition of the last days that God said would come, but we can learn how we are to live in such a time. We can learn that. And the Christian has the privilege of the Holy Spirit's power The Christian has the privilege of that power to be an overcomer when the direction of God's word is followed. And what concerns me is that not only have the moral standards of the world declined as God said they would, but it seems to me that many Christians have adapted to follow the acceptable norm in society. And God told us that this would happen too. Since God instructs us to from such turn away, I believe there needs to be clear teaching about moral purity in these perilous times. And the question may be asked, why have standards? What do standards do? Well, first of all, I would like to define what I mean by a courtship standard, and then I want to think about why we have standards and what they do for us. A courtship standard is a choice about dating conduct based on Bible principles that is put into practice. That's what I mean when I talk about courtship standards. A dating conduct based on Bible principles that is put into practice. It is a choice that you will not compromise regardless of the situation, regardless of the consequences. All right, so why have a standard? A couple of things, several. Number one, standards keep you as a couple from gradual decline. Let's face it, that's what we are prone to do. We are prone to decline. Again and again, the case has been that the relationship was, yeah, it was started sincere enough, but as time went on, you know, it became a little more routine, it became more familiar, and as a result, there was more of a relaxing, and as time went on, they began to gradually lower their standards, and eventually they came to the point where they surrendered to the control of their passions. Well, it's only when couples set firm standards that the minds and consciences of both persons are alerted to the wrong direction when their original agreement is maybe violated. All right, so that's one thing. The second thing of why to have a standard. Standards protect you from unexpected high-pressure situations. You know, while most couples, the tendency is to ease into compromises, I believe also that some couples find themselves caught unexpectedly in an it's okay situation. An example of this might be if you're, well, let's say maybe with another dating couple who may not have set the standards that you have. What do we call that? I call that peer pressure. If they are doing it, well, then it must be okay. Setting your standards early in the relationships gives you strength to say, no, I have this standard. You can come back to that. No. Standards draw the line beyond which you will not go. The third thing is standards guard you from decisions based on feelings or passions. You know, emotions deceive. I think we would all admit that. They can and will carry you away if you are not careful. And without standards, you will make decisions. It will be easy to make decisions based on impulses, emotional impulses. Standards keep you from living by your emotions. Let's remember that. Standards allow you to make decisions now. Waiting until you get into the middle of a tough situation to make a decision really can get a person into trouble. But if you have a standard, you can think through, why I have this, you can make that decision now. You think you know what you will do, but you can never be sure. Those who wait to decide, usually, a lot of times, decide incorrectly. In those situations, there is often not time or even a desire to pray or study Scripture and seek counsel of a mature Christian. Standards allow you to make your decision now, while you are thinking clearly, your feelings are under control, and your desire is for God's best. They allow you to make decisions now. Standards help you be victorious in other areas. Compromise is contagious. Once you allow an opening in one area of your life, you will soon find compromise in other areas. I believe standards help in keeping that from happening. Last reason that I have for having courtship standards is standards enable you to walk closer to God and His Word. Matthew 7, maybe I'll just turn to that. You don't need to turn to it if you don't care to, but Matthew chapter 7, we have the familiar words, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus says that the gate is narrow. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I believe standards serve as guardrails to keep you on the narrow path. Improper courtship practices have caused young people to fall in the ditch by the side of the road. And I believe standards help in keeping us from falling into the ditch, but they keep you in the center of the road. This morning, courtship standards are so important. And we could go that, yet we have to develop convictions. We have to have more than just following a standard. And that is true. That is very true. But I believe that God would I believe that God would have us to set guidelines to assist us. We are human beings and we fail. We have weaknesses within us. We have that nature that wants to pull us down. And as young people, I believe it is clear that we need help along the way. We need the guardrails along the way to help us in these things. I believe that there is great reaping taking place in individuals' lives who failed to do that, who failed to set a standard for their courtship. And there's so much that is affected by that. If you fail to maintain high standards, I believe there's numerous ways in your life that will be affected. I have a few listed. Number one is your relationship with God. God loves you very much and wants you to love Him in return. And when disobedience comes into your life, it damages your relationship with Him, and it damages your relationship with your special friend. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." God still loves you, but this disobedience hinders your relationship with Him. Another area of life that I believe is affected is your feeling of peace toward yourself as a person. When you do something wrong, guess what? There's guilt that comes with it. Even though you may try to excuse it, you know you are wrong. That can make you feel like God does not love you and that you are worthless. And fears and insecurities may creep into your life. Negative thoughts become more negative and life loses its joy. Feelings of peace toward yourself are affected if we fail to maintain high standards. Another area that is affected is your testimony for Christ. Few areas can discredit your Christian witness quicker than compromise in your courtship. No one is fooled when you talk one way during the week and act another way over the weekend. No one is fooled by that. Word soon gets around that, you're a hypocrite. Your testimony for Christ does not appeal to others who truly know you. Another thing that is affected is your wedding. One of the greatest moments in life is the day you get married. The couple that goes to the marriage altar and has not kept their commitments to each other by way of standards will lack the joy and anticipation that should rightfully be theirs. It will affect it. And it's amazing how different a courtship looks when a couple is looking back. It is amazing how that looks. I think all of us that are married would verify that. When you look back as to what that looks like, that picture, it looks different. We have to admit it looks different than what it did at that point. Another thing that is affected is your marriage. First I said wedding, and now your marriage. Failures and courtship often plague a couple throughout their married life. And it's important that both involved repent of their sinful involvements and extend forgiveness to the other. And when this is done, the marriage can again be happy. But there's reaping that goes with that. There's always painful memories of failures. Well, by now you may be asking the question, just how can proper courtship standards be made and kept? I don't have time to go into a whole lot of this, but I think of Daniel. Do as Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Read Daniel 1, verse 8. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Determination alone will not ensure success, but it is a vital ingredient. See purity as a spiritual battle and follow Joseph's example when he said there in Genesis 39, verse 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Christ's instruction for victory is found in Matthew 26, where it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Pray for God's spirit to help you control your mind. Another thing that is very important in making and keeping courtship standards is keeping communication with your parents. And I know I've stressed this thing about parental involvements. I feel very strongly about that. Keep communicating with your parents. Feel free to share your struggles with them and ask their counsel. God has placed you in their lives, or them in your lives, however you want to say it, for a reason. They have experienced the things that you have in many, many cases. They know what it's like. And God has them there in your life for a reason, to help you through these times. Feel free to share your struggles with them and ask their counsel. Know and respect their expectations for your Christian or for your courtship standards. Maintain a high respect for the character and total well-being of your friend. Cherish purity as a priceless possession. How wonderful to approach the marriage altar knowing that both of you, by God's power, have kept yourselves pure and for each other. I believe these things will go a long way in helping you make courtship standards and be able to stand firm in keeping them. In conclusion, I would just like to say there are great blessings in a God-honoring, spirit-led courtship. The next message is probably going to be on the blessings of marriage, but there certainly is that. But there are great blessings in a God-honoring, spirit-led courtship. A Christian couple will enjoy many happy times together as they follow God's leading through their courtship days. Their friendship will be a period of personal growth for both of them as they strengthen each other's character. And, I believe that they will find and know deep satisfaction of being in God's will. And what a blessing that feeling is. Their holiness will honor God's name by sending a clear message to the watching world. In years to come, they can reflect on their courtship with the pleasant memories of a clear conscience. And I think of the foundation that's laid that will just continue on and on if that is maintained. The foundation will have been laid for a godly home and an example set for the generations to come if the Lord tarries. I trust that you young people will rise to the challenge before you. As we have learned from those before us, you too will learn from the spiritual men and women of our generation and establish strong homes and families. That there is so much at stake in courtship. So much at stake. Again, the little poem, "Your life lies before you like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. Yes, maybe an exciting time, but remember, it is also a very serious time and has serious implications for generations to come. Let's kneel together in prayer.